Have you heard of the Powerball lottery in America? After a long period of no one hitting the jackpot, it now has the record figures for top prize. The top prize now is $1.5 billion. Well, actually, whoever wins the jackpot will have to take home winnings of less than half that amount. Most will go to government in the form of tax. But still, that is to become an instant millionaire. Well, let me say that I, for one, am not against lottery as a form of amusement. But to many, the sad thing is that it has become for them the path to instant wealth. In the scripture, the path to material gain is ordinarily by way of labor. And the paramount concern with what we gain is in fact that of giving. And probably we need to check our own spirit whether that is still the case, that you labor for your gain, and what you gain, you think about what to give. And for several Sundays now, we have been occupied with this subject in our afternoon discourses. And again, I remind you, this is not a subject that occupies this pulpit, but because our text presses us to address it, we are addressing it. The last two chapters we are dealing with in our series, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, have the most concentrated teaching on giving. Itong dalawang kabanata na pinag-aaralan natin ng ilang linggo na, ito ang may maraming pagtuturo tungkol sa pagbibigay, ang kabanatang 8 at 9 ng ikalawang Korinto. And when we deal with this, be disposed to be taught, to be challenged, perhaps even to be searched and rebuked. And one thing that we stress again and again is that giving is a matter of grace. Before it is a duty or obligation, you must think of it as grace. As your other graces grow, such as love, patience, and those other graces, so your giving must grow. Why is this a grace? Because it is our response to God's grace in Christ. And that should breed liberality in giving. Ang pagbibigay ay tugon natin sa unang pagbibigay ng Diyos. Hindi tayo ang unang nagbibigay sa Diyos. Ang unang nagbigay sa isang napakasagana, napakayamang kaloob na nakay Hesukristo. At ang ating pagbibigay ay tugon sa biyayang iyon. At kung mapanatili natin yan sa paraang ganyan natin magagawa na ang pagbibigay natin ay higit sa obligasyon, higit sa tungkulin, ito ay biyaya ng Diyos sa atin. Now, in Paul's explanation of what he is doing, he mentions two brothers, both unnamed, but they are described as messengers of the churches. And Paul builds up the standing of these brothers going to Corinth with Titus. And what we learn here is that part of giving is esteem for churches and the mission that God has commissioned them with. And Paul is telling the Corinthians that he has been speaking, in fact boasting to others of the Corinthians' readiness, because that readiness makes an impact upon the brethren. Now here is a testimony that a church must aspire after, a church that gives readily, has, according to Paul, a steering impact upon the cause of Christ. Now what Paul will do from the collective character of the church, the Corinthian church as being ready, now Paul turns to individual givers. It's you and me. The church may have a character that can be described as ready, but what about you as individuals? Turn now your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. As I've said, from the collective identity or character of the church, Paul now turns his attention to you and me as individual givers take note of the words, each one must give. Bawat isa ay dapat na magbigay. Pinagdidiinan niya na ang biyaya ng pagbibigay ay hindi lamang para sa iilan. Iniisip ng iba, ang biyayang yan ay para doon sa nakaririwasa o nakaluluwag sa kanilang buhay, sila ang may maibibigay. Hindi yan ang sinabi ni Pablo. Ang sabi niya, bawat isa sa inyo. At anong gusto ng Panginoon sa bawat isa sa atin? At narito ang isang susi na dapat magbukas sa ating isip. Ano dapat tayo bilang tagapagbigay? There are many verses of scripture that qualify as good memory verses on the subject of giving. And I suggest that this is certainly one of the best. It tells us of a rare information that is what God loves about a giver. Anong minamahal ng Diyos sa isang tagapagbigay? I have a simple message. A cheerful giver practices liberal giving for the cause of Christ. Ang masayang tagapagbigay ay nagbibigay ng may kaluwagan para sa simulain ni Kristo. A cheerful giver practices liberal giving for the cause of Christ. Now take note, Paul does not say God loves a generous gift. And we need to hammer out upon our minds that God is never affected by the amount of gift. He looks first at the heart of the giver. He starts with the giver. What kind of giver are you? And here is one that you should aspire to be. Because Paul says, God loves this kind of giver. What kind of giver? Cheerful giver. Tagapagbigay na nalulugod, nasasayahan sa kanyang pagbibigay. Now, how can we be such a cheerful giver? I have three simple components of cheerful giving. First, motivation. Motibasyon natin. Second is resolution, ang ating resolution. And third, celebration, celebration sa kaharian ng Diyos. Motivation, resolution, celebration constitute the character of cheerful givers. So first of all then, what motivation? We'll take note of the words, and these words are often misunderstood and misapplied. It says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Sinasabi yan, ang nag-aasik ng bahagya ay aani ng bahagya. At ang nag-aasik ng masagana ay aani ng masagana. Now, this is not actually a quote from scripture. This is an extension of an ancient proverb. The ancient proverb, you reap what you sow. It has all kinds of versions in the ancient world, kahit sa atin. Kung may itinanim, may aanihin, eh lahat halos ng mga bansa may ganyang kawikaan. And Paul is simply extending that ancient wisdom to the reality of giving in the church. But this has been misapplied. There is crass materialism being encouraged on the pretext of faith using this. So parang sinasabi nila, pag kaunti lang ang binigay mo, kaunti lang ang babalik sa iyo. Kaya siguruhin mo, malaki ang bigay mo, malaking amount ang iyong binibigay para bumalik sa iyo ng malaki rin. Narinig ko ang isang mangangaral na ang hamon niya sa kanyang kongregasyon. Ano ang inyong pananampalataya? 100 piso lang ba? Babalik sa inyo yung maliit na halaga. Gawin ninyong 1,000-1,000 pananampalataya, and that to me is simply a distortion of scripture, and that is not what Paul intends by these words. In fact, we will explain in the next message what is the abundance that Paul is encouraging or motivating in his readers. But by way of important teaching, we must remember giving is not conditioned on receiving back, but inspired by gratitude. Ang pagbibigay ay hindi nakasalalay sa anong babalik sa iyo, kundi ito ay pinupukaw ng pagpapasalamat. It should be inspired by gratitude, not on the pretext that if you give, then you will get proportionately to what you give. The materialist motive in Christian giving is often justified from Old Testament promises misapplied today. So remember that in the Old Testament, for Israel, God's covenant is focused on the land. The faithfulness of God's people will be seen in the blessing of prosperity on the land of Israel. Now, this is not the case with the New Testament. Prosperity in the New Testament is in terms of salvation and spiritual blessings. Paul says, Ephesians 1:3, bless God for all the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. And then he catalogs those blessings in terms of salvation blessings, forgiveness of sins, redemption, accepted in the beloved. Those are blessings so much more than material prosperity. But the carnal use of the motive of giving in order to get back reduces giving to a business trade-off with God. And that is so unworthy. Those whose mentality is, I give, you bless me. And the more I give, the more you bless materially. This is not Christian giving. Compare this to the explicitly stated spirit of giving in the New Testament, and you will find that the paramount spirit is that of gratitude. Listen to Paul as he addresses elders of Ephesus in Acts 20, verse 35. In all things I have shown you that by working hard we must help the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Do you believe that? And do you apply that to your own giving? So to have a mentality, I will give because I will get more, is to put the motive on its head. For Paul, the blessing is more in the giving than in the receiving. And it motivates his working hard, he says, so that he may help the weak. Sa makatwid, nagpapagal siya sa kanyang gawain upang mas lalo siyang makatulong sa mga nangangailangan. We think of work primarily as a means of gain. Now, nothing wrong with that. But for Paul, it is first in order that we may give. Now, he repeats the same theme in Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Bakit niya hinihikayat na magtrabaho? Ang maliwanag na ibinigay niyang motiba ay upang tayo makapagbigay sa mga nangangailangan. Now, this can have a revolutionary effect on your own use of money. To have a motive of earning in order to give. The materialistic motive is, I give to gain from God. The grateful motive is, I gain to give for God. And it has been well said, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. So how do you define your life? Is it acquisition, accumulation, or is it giving? You know, the tested formula of taming even of wild animals is by the power of expectation. And when we have that thankful spirit of what God has given to us, that should be the motivation to inspire our giving as well. So I challenge you, cultivate the twin graces of thankfulness with contentment. And let me tell you, this is a powerful combination of graces. Thankfulness with contentment. Let me explain why this combination is powerful. You see, one may sound thankful in the midst of abundance. Maring isang tao, punong-puno ng pagpapasalamat sa gitna ng kanyang kasaganaan. Pero dagli ring nawawala kapag ang kasaganaan na yon ay naging kasalatan that exposes his thankfulness to be limited. On the opposite side, a person may seem content. He does not grumble in his scarcity, but it is also possible that that contentment is really just resignation. Wala na akong magawa. Ganito talagang buhay ko. Makikita mo yan maging sa mga mahihirap na tanggap na nila ang kanilang kalagayan. Is that contentment? Not the Christian grace of contentment. It's more resignation than contentment. You see, the powerful twin is that of thankfulness with contentment. A man who is content yet thankful for what he has. A man who is thankful even in scarcity because he can be content. Are you thankful even in scarcity? And certainly Paul has dispersed reasons in these two chapters of 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians to give the reason for us to be thankful to God. We come back always to the grace of God in the giving of His Son for the salvation of sinners. And I may be speaking to some here who probably have a sense of gratitude for what God is giving to you in terms of daily material sustenance or daily health, but you don't know anything about that greatest gift of all in the person of His Son. And soon you will realize that all these material, temporary gifts, as they are expression of God's kindness, that is not yet the grace of salvation. And for us who know that grace of salvation, certainly this is the greatest gift that God has given to us. So in this materialistic world, there are many sources of the toxic air of ingratitude and discontent, and it is sad indeed that sometimes the source emanates from pulpits that teach a materialistic motive. Kapag ganito ang naririnig mong turo sa mga mangangaral, nakalulungkot na sa halip na sumalungat sa diwa ng mundo sa kanyang materyosong motibo, dinadagdagan pang lalo at gagamit pa ng mga talata para mabigyang katwiran ang kanilang maling motibo. We will explain, as I've said next message, what is this reaping bountifully. But the graces that we experience, the graces of thankfulness and contentment, are themselves the abundance God promises here. The abundance of graces. What remains as one of the most important Puritan classics is Jeremiah Burroughs, The Precious Jewel of Christian Contentment. For indeed, to have contentment, especially in a very materialistic world, is a precious, rare jewel in our day. Cultivate that, dear brothers and sisters. So, motivation is one component. The second is resolution. For here Paul says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Kung anong nilayo niya sa kanyang puso. We learn here that Christian giving is best practiced with Christian deliberation and purposefulness. Ang pagbibigay Kristiyano ay dapat kagawian natin na gawing may pag-iisip, paglalayon. The opposite of purposeful giving is to be haphazard. You know, someone is haphazard if his decision is unthought of. Kapag hindi pinag-isipan or impulsive, an impulsive person goes by his moods. Kung ano yung mood niya sa sandaling iyon, ganun siya magdidesisyon. Now, this may be one's general habit of spending money that extends to his giving. He may be generally haphazard and impulsive. And giving only becomes one of the ways he manifests those things. However, it is also possible that one can be disciplined with his money in other things. And yet when it comes to Christian giving, he becomes haphazard and impulsive. And it is against that habit that Paul is saying you must do so with purpose in your heart. Giving is first a state of the heart before an act of the hand. Ang pagbibigay ay una kalagayan ng puso bago pagkilos ng kamay. Mortify the habit of haphazard and impulsive giving when you are giving to the cause of God. And this comes back again to how God gave. When He gave His greatest gifts in the person of the Son, there is wisdom behind it. It was not a haphazard, impulsive, moody act on the part of God. So when we give, we must understand that there is power in giving when it is purposeful, when it is thought of. Another classic I have in mind is in the field of literature. Victor Hugo's 1862 novel, Les Misérables. And you probably know the story, probably watch a movie version of that story. It is about a fugitive who went to a church and he was treated with hospitality by the priest. Then later on, he even attempted to steal from the church, got caught, and when the officers brought him to the priest simply said, "I gave those things to him," and that turned him around. So in other words, that purposefulness on the part of the giver has a powerful transformation, an effect of powerful transformation on the man. And that is what we are being asked to practice in our Christian giving. Be purposeful. Apply deliberation and resolution to your grace of giving. Without deliberation, it is so easy to fall short of what we are able to give with some liberality. For lack of deliberation, the poor may always conclude, "I have nothing more to give." And for lack of deliberation, the rich may always imagine, "I have given so much already." And both may be wrong. Were your offerings the product of serious deliberation and resolution? You know, there are financial transactions that you deliberate seriously. And why do you deliberate seriously? You do not want to lose money. In Christian giving, it should be the other way around. Why should you deliberate seriously so as not to be sparing with your giving? Hindi nagkakait. John Wesley's motto is very appropriate when it comes to the Christian's attitude to money. It is easy to remember. He said, "Earn as much as you can. Save as much as you can. Give as much as you can." Can you say of your giving, "It is as much as you can"? Well, you know, we don't monitor, we don't examine, we have no records of individual giving. It is between you and God. Have you given as much as you can as a matter of resolution? And finally, celebration. We turn here to the key word, cheerful. The Greek is hilaros, where we got the English word hilarious. Hilarity. Something very funny, but in a more positive light, it means celebration. And that, Paul says, should be the spirit of the giver. He is giving because he is celebrating something. So Christian giving is in the spirit of celebrating the kingdom of Christ. Even in this series, we have been reminded of the many great things ushered in by the kingdom of Christ. Remember 6 verse 2, "Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Because Christ has come, we now are in the period when everyone is being invited to do it now. Experience salvation now. Even to you where you are, this is being extended to you. You can be saved now because Christ has come." Or remember 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation." In Christ, even creation is not quite the same because he has ushered in the kingdom. So in the light of all these announcements of what has come about because of Christ, it is calculated to make us celebratory in our spirit when we give. A Christian who holds a small vision for the kingdom of Christ will hardly be liberal in giving. It is the believer who knows that the kingdom will have a glorious future that his giving will be marked by celebration. Nagbubunyi. At kapag nagbubunyi tayo, ay madali maluwag ang makapagbigay. Most of the candidates today would be dependent upon donors. And who do you think donors will give liberally to? The person who they think would be a winner. Of course, their motive is mostly selfish and carnal. But still, the point is because they think this candidate is going to be a winner, they give liberally. Do you believe that Christ is a sure winner? That victory is guaranteed? I believe that with all my heart. And I hope you do. And that should affect the way you give. So I challenge you, liberate a joyful spirit in every act of giving for the cause of God. Pawalan mo sa iyong puso ang kagalakan ng diwa sa bawat gawa ng pagbibigay para sa simulain ng Diyos. Release that joyful spirit rather than restrain it. Here in the text, the opposite of cheerful is what? Grudging. Of necessity. Meaning reluctant and compelled. Under pressure. And we have not applied any pressure on the giving of the congregation. We have not had any gimmickry or manipulation. Any giving that is the result of pressure and gimmickry is the opposite of a joyful spirit. A joyful spirit is liberated by the conviction that Jesus' kingdom is expanding through the mission of the church. Kaya yan ang itanong at ipanuri natin, masaya ba tayo sa ating pagbibigay? Remember, one of the kingdom parables of Jesus in Matthew 13, we call the parable of the hidden treasure. A man discovered hidden treasure in a place, and what did he do? He sold all he had to obtain that treasure. Simply put, when a person knows the treasure of the kingdom of God, the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is willing to let go of anything for the sake of that kingdom. Do you have that spirit that you know the hidden treasure? Do not tell me that one is converted if there is no change to his greed and grudging spirit in giving. There is reason for joy. Do not restrain it. Liberate it each time you give for the kingdom. And these are the three components of cheerful giving, Christian giving. Now, engineers know this better, but since the ancient times, it has been discovered that of the geometric figures, the triangle is the most sturdy because you cannot move any side without moving the other sides. In a square or rectangle, you can slant it without any change to the length of sides. It becomes a parallelogram. But that means it is movable, unstable. And you will see this in suspension bridges that the support are in triangle forms. Well, these are the three sides of the triangle of Christian giving. Your motivation, your resolution, and whether you have a spirit of celebration. When you have this, remember what Paul said. God loves a cheerful giver. No matter the amount, no matter the size of the gift, what God sees is the giver, and God celebrates when the giver is cheerful. And in our last hymn, we shall be expressing our own celebration, our own rejoicing, because of the fact that the Lord is King. Let's close in prayer. Madakila namin Diyos, aming mabuting Ama. Nagpapasalamat kami sa hamon ng iyong salita ukol sa pagbibigay. At salamat na maliwanag na inihayag dito ni Pablo kung anong uri ng tagapagbigay ang iyong minamahal. Hindi mo tinitingnan ang halaga ng kaloob. Ang tinitingnan mo ay ang tagapagbigay, at ang hinahangad mo ay siya isang masayang may kagalakan na nagbibigay. At ito nawa ang aming hangarin. Help us, Lord, to search our motivation in the midst of so many crass materialism that prevails in the world, and sadly even in many pulpits today. May we not have a trade-off mentality when it comes to our giving, for you have given so much already. And the most paramount is that of the giving of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for those here who probably may be conscious of your blessings to them in material and temporal sense, but has not had a real receiving by faith of your gift of your Son. May today be the day when they will respond to that gift of salvation. And for our part, may we remove and mortify from us every spirit of carnal materialism. And instead, may our giving be inspired by gratitude. May we cultivate the twin graces of thankfulness and contentment. Help us, Lord, to search our own resolution, that our giving is not haphazard or impulsive, that our giving to your cause is one that is the result of deliberation, of resolution, the purpose of the heart. And help us, Lord, to have that spirit of celebration when we give to you. For indeed there is reason to celebrate that Christ has come, and by his death and resurrection now sits at your right hand and is now ruling in his kingdom, and the kingdom is advancing. And what a thought that we should be called to participate in the advancement and promotion of your kingdom among others by way of our giving. So grant, O Lord, that when we give, we may truly celebrate, not grudgingly, not of necessity, not under pressure, but help us to liberate the joyful spirit when we give. For there is so much to be confident and joyful about the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be with us in the application of this. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.